The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. It's the dog days of summer, so go to BubbleGenius.com for their Happy Fluff Pup Wash Soap. It's soap for your dog, and frankly, I've actually used it on myself, too. Specially formulated for a very sensitive puppy, this soap's got essential oils that act as natural flea repellents and skin conditioners, plus colloidal oatmeal and shea butter to help alleviate itchy skin and to condition the coat. The raised paw bumps on the soap can also act as a bit of a massage bar. Only $6 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order, only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
America has changed over the years. But these values that my grandparents taught me, they haven't gone anywhere. They're as strong as ever. Still cherished by people of every party, every race, every faith. They live on in each of us. What makes us American, what makes us patriots, is what's in here. That's what matters. And that's why we can take the food and music and holidays and styles of other countries and blend it into something uniquely our own. That's why we can attract strivers and entrepreneurs from around the globe to build new factories and create new industries here. That's why our military can look the way it does. Every shade of humanity forged into common service. That's why anyone who threatens our values, whether fascists or communists or jihadists or homegrown demagogues, will always fail in the end.
Obama! On the internet, we're the tops. Wonderful is the hot one.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Obama!
It is Thursday, July 28, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by
Obama!
No, it's actually presented by BubbleGenius.com, the best goddamn soap in the world. I am Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza sitting right up there.
Yeah.
Why?
Hi.
Hello, Eeyore.
We are also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need a lawyer, better call Bo, or you can get free legal advice over at thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez, or you can just click the link on the podcast page. Can't miss it. All right. So we've got lots to talk about today. It's one of those days, it's one of those shows where, thank goodness for
Obama!
Making our lives so much easier in so many different ways, but selfishly, thanks to that goddamn speech last night, Barack Obama's speech at the 2016 Democratic National Convention. Historic. Thanks to that,
Obama!
I didn't really have to prepare anything for the show. Just to play a bunch of clips from the speech last night, in case you missed it, especially. But we're going to talk about it, too, of course. We're also going to get to the whole thing with Donald Trump and hoping the Russians conduct cyber espionage on the United States State Department.
Yeah, he now says he was being
sarcastic.
He was being sarcastic.
He's being sarcastic.
Which is why he said it over and over.
That's right. And then tweeted it.
Yes.
Yeah. Tweeted out his sarcasm right after saying it over and over again. Unequivocally, I mean, at the very least, well, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. But that is, of course, the excuse. The excuse is always, well, I was joking. Uh-huh. Right. Right. You're joking about one of our most hostile, I guess you could call them allies, spying on the former Secretary of State and the United States State Department. That's presidential material right there. I mean, I really seem to believe, and we're going to get to Obama here in just one second. I just really am believing now, 24 hours after that horrendous press conference yesterday Donald Trump gave, that he's suffering from some kind of brain worms. I mean, there's something going horrendously wrong inside that gray matter, inside that clown wig.
The thing that you talked about forever ago that holds so true. Yeah. The idea that you know, it was less than a decade ago that Howard Dean shouting weirdly was enough to get him kicked out of the race.
He's
losing his mind.
Yeah, he really is. All right, we're gonna talk about Trump at length coming up here in a bit, and maybe even in the context of this speech. But I mean, I am just still. I don't know exactly what to say about the president's remarks last night, other than to say that was maybe the greatest political speech I've ever seen. I mean, at least seen live in person, much less going back farther than that. In 45 minutes, and in just 45 minutes, he hit every single beat. I mean, everything from bookending his 2004 keynote address from the Democratic National Convention to hitting some of the refrains that he's been hitting over the last 8 years to trolling the Republicans, to nailing Donald Trump, and to successfully selling Hillary Clinton to the American people, not just Democrats and not just Bernie people, but people in the middle, people who don't know who the hell to vote for. I mean, Steve Schmidt, I think, said it best on MSNBC last night, at least in terms of the drive of the speech, which was, you know, there are some of you who are moderate Republicans and conservatives and so on. We don't agree on everything, but we agree on one thing.
I know words. I have the best words.
This was Barack Obama and the Democratic Party reaching out that olive branch, I think, to the people who don't want to vote for Trump. They're on the Republican side and they don't want to vote for Trump, and they're still on the edge about voting for Hillary Clinton. And I think Barack Obama may have won those people over. I at least sincerely hope that they did, because the alternative is horrifying.
Well, that's the thing, you know. Forgive me for throwing cold water on things, but I've been a bit of a sort of downer and or maybe more of a realist about this over the past, you know, few days, which is, you know, I've gone to Nate Silver, and granted, it's, you know, the race is nowhere near over, but the idea that it's close to a dead heat really bothers me.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it really irks me.
Yeah. And I think there are just a lot of people who have been successfully snowed.
Yeah.
Who,
because I can't help but wonder. I'm always like, as we sit here talking about how terrific the speech was, and you look on our Facebook feeds and our Twitter feeds, and we see how great it was. There is, to some extent, it is not the hermetically sealed ideological bubble you get from Fox News and the right. But we do, all of us, live in kind of a bubble now.
Yeah.
So when we say things like he hammered Trump and he just nailed him, which, by the way, he did.
we have the clips.
But the question is, did it make a real impact?
Yeah.
And that's the scary thing. The idea that the case can be laid out. And the thing about Trump, and this is the thing, as I listened to the speeches yesterday, like I listened to Bloomberg really hit him hard.
Yeah.
As I listen to all of it, I'm like, that doesn't even come close to really hitting Trump. You know, the person who genuinely nails Trump, in my mind, is the person who gets up there and says, why the fuck are we even having this conversation?
Yeah, yeah.
Look, this man is a self-evidently unhinged, unfit monster.
Yeah. And that was, I think, the drive of some of Obama's speech last night. I think what he was saying was, I mean, Barack Obama, the president of the United States, had to get up in front of the American people last night, and especially the Democratic Party, and make a case against authoritarianism.
No, that is true. And he did a terrific job. He really did.
Yeah. But I see what you're getting at. I mean, because, look, last night after the speech, I was watching the MSNBC coverage and the post-speech analysis and all of that crap, and then I made the mistake of going over to Fox News Channel, and it was like, it was that scene in Poltergeist where the dad suddenly opens the closet door and all kinds of horrible, murderous things pop out at him, and he suddenly slams the door shut. That was me going over to Fox News Channel. It was just like, click, and then it was, you know, it was just like a cacophony of just horrible screaming. Because they were like, I mean, everyone on Twitter was going bananas. I mean, John Cole from Balloon Juice was talking about it. He was crying. And Oliver Willis is, you know, it's just praising the guy. And just everyone of all of the different ideologies of the people I follow were all praising this thing. And I go over to Fox News Channel and there's Hannity going like, was it? It was mean spirit. There was a reporter on the floor of the convention who tried really hard to spin it negatively. She was going, you know, it was, the sound was so deafening, it was so loud. It was loudness here, and it was hurting my ears.
But that's as awful as it sounds. That is, you know, in the immortal words of Werner Herzog, you must not avert your eyes. That's it.
Yeah.
Like we need to step outside ourselves and take a look and. Whether we like it or not, and I don't like it, I hate it because I think that Fox News is a poison.
Yeah.
But that is what a substantial. That's what the other side is getting fed.
Yeah.
I do worry just a little bit, and again, I don't mean to throw cold water on everybody here, but I do worry just a tiny
bit.
Well,
I mean, you know what? You wouldn't be Chez if you didn't.
No, but while I think that 100%. Obama was right about everything that he said. I'm concerned over the fact that they're making it sound too rosy, because certainly there are actual threats out there. And I'm probably just hedging and trying to be all things to all people because I am concerned about the threat Donald Trump poses. But I just everything he said to me is correct, and it was uplifting, and it was beautiful, and it was wonderful. I really hope that that message breaks through to the people who are, quite frankly, nervous wrecks.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's all a process. It's just a process of chipping away at those swing voters, and that's going to be now until November. It's just going to be the Democrats chipping away. Really, I mean, the Fox News people, they're already convinced. You're not going to convince them otherwise. You may pick off a few here and there. The left, they're already convinced too. It's all of those people in the middle who have to be convinced. And those were the people who Barack Obama was speaking to last night. And going back to what you were saying about Newt Gingrich, of course, you know, Trump only had a couple of tweets last night about the president's speech, about everything that was going on. He basically shut the F up. Trump did not take to Twitter and troll people last night. He may have been licking his wound. I don't know what the hell was going on behind the scenes. But one of the things he did tweet was, he wrote during Obama's speech, "Our country does not feel great already to the millions of wonderful people living in poverty, violence, and despair." The fact of the matter is that what Trump is basically saying is that I'm going to eliminate all poverty everywhere for all time.
Sure. The authoritarian idea that... you are suffering, and I alone am the one who can rescue you from this.
Oh yeah,
it is. I'm sure it's very tempting for a lot of people, and I really hope they don't fall for it, especially with someone as just ridiculous as Trump.
Right, and so let's dive in. I mean, we played at the top of the show where Barack Obama, the one passage that a lot of people were talking about after the speech last night, in which Barack Obama basically. Listed a rogues gallery of enemies, fascists, communists, jihadists, and homegrown demagogues. Yeah. A direct stab at Donald Trump, linking him with all of these other villains. And you know what? It's kind of true. It's absolutely true.
Sure, absolutely.
It's absolutely true. So then he went into a section about Donald Trump not being a plans guy. Here's the president from last night.
And then there's Donald Trump. Don't boo. Vote. Yeah, The Donald is not really a plans guy. He's not really a facts guy either. He calls himself a business guy, which is true, but I have to say I know plenty of businessmen and women who've achieved remarkable success without leaving a trail of lawsuits and unpaid workers and people feeling like they got cheated. Does anyone really believe that a guy who spent his 70 years on this earth showing no regard for working people is suddenly going to be your champion, your voice? Hey, if so, you should vote for him. But if you're someone who's truly concerned about paying your bills, if you're really concerned about pocketbook issues and seeing the economy grow and creating more opportunity for everybody, then the choice isn't even close. If you want someone with a lifelong track record of fighting for higher wages and better benefits and a fairer tax code and a bigger voice for workers and stronger regulations on Wall Street, then you should vote for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and of course, as you can probably predict, I mean, people looking at that from the Republican side, from the pro-Trump side, are going, well, he created all these jobs. I mean, you're lying. You're obviously lying. Donald Trump has a great track record in creating jobs and forming businesses.
No, he doesn't.
Barack Obama, all Trump
has done, certainly over the past I want to say probably a couple of decades besides file bankruptcy and build stuff that doesn't last, is license his name out.
Yeah.
That in some ways, Trump is the perfect American for our times.
Yeah.
Meaning that he doesn't actually do anything. He just, you know, he's the perfect oligarch.
Right, right.
He doesn't do anything. He doesn't make anything. He's not even a part of the service industry.
No.
He just licenses his brand.
He's
like a fucking millennial. He just has a brand.
Yeah, he's just perpetuating his brand. That's what his entire presidential run is all about. It's all about brand Trump. I don't think he really cares about winning all that much. I mean, certainly he wants to win. He's not wasting all of his money to lose.
Right.
But I think ultimately his calculation is that if I keep running, the longer I run and the longer my name is in the news, the higher my Q score goes and the more money I can make.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what
it is. It's entirely about it. I mean, we started talking about this long before any of the candidates started declaring back last year, even before much more than a year ago. It's all about having an upper hand in negotiations with places like Fox News Channel.
Right. Like, and I've said more than once that Trump is, and I said this for a long time ago, I started saying this, Trump is lazy. He's completely lazy. He wants to make the most money he can doing the least work. That's why he's a dilettante in terms of politics. He doesn't bother to learn. He doesn't care. He shoots from the hip because he trusts his gut, not only because he trusts his gut because he's an idiot.
Yeah.
But because why bother to learn?
Oh,
I know.
That's
sad. That just takes time.
And there are a lot of people out there going, well, this is fine. I mean, they're watching Donald Trump speak and they're going, oh, this is okay. I mean, it doesn't matter that he doesn't speak fluently or, you know, it doesn't matter that he's getting all of his facts wrong or anything like that. He speaks to me. He speaks just like me. He speaks just like me. And that's terrifying. I don't want the president, you know, this is a common refrain that we have on this show. I don't want the president to speak like me. I want the president to speak like that guy did last night at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I want my president to behave. Barack Obama needs to be and will likely be, at least for the Democrats, the paradigm for presidents going forward. We're going to play more clips of that speech coming up here on the show. But I just wanted to note one thing before we talk about Harry's razors. For the next century, Democrats will speak of Barack Obama in the way Republicans speak of Reagan. I guarantee it.
No, he is, I think, the most transformational president of my lifetime, by far.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to talk about his speech a little bit more, but first, Harry's Razors. Let's talk about Harry's. Once again, I am freshly shaved this morning. In fact, I was a little late starting the show because I had to go and get my Harry's Razor and shave my goddamn face. Nice, clean, close shave. My face feels great. It's like super early, and I feel refreshed. I feel like I've had 10 cups of coffee instead of just 5, thanks to Harry's Razor. Seems like there are no good choices in 2016. We either buy cheap disposable razors that shred our skin, or we get someone to unlock a jewelry case so we can pay $30 for an 8-pack of blades. Well, this year, Americans are joining a revolution, saying no to insane prices and demanding an affordable shave that's in the top 1% of quality. Free-thinking men and women like us are endorsing Harry's shaving products with the slogan, good shave, good price. Your Harry's starter kit includes the Truman razor, some of those great blades, and Harry's great-smelling moisturizing shave cream for just $15. That's half of what you pay for just the blades from the other guys. because Harry's has its own blade factory and ships them straight to you with no middleman to drive up the price. But if you go to harrys.com and use our code BANDC, they'll knock an extra $5 off your first order. That's the razor, the blades, the shave cream, and more for just $10. Stop buying junk razors or paying too much for quality. Use the code BANDC when you check out at harrys.com. That's HARRYS.com.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Like a fool, I went and stayed too long. I'm wondering if your love's still strong. Ooh, baby, yeah, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours.
Man, he owned that room last night. I mean, I think
Obama.
Some of them won't admit it, but I think there were Republicans who were going, man, that was a great speech.
I mean, well, you know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You're going to get the same thing with Obama that you got with Clinton. Once he's out of office and is no longer a threat, the Republicans will speak well of him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think
Idiots like Newt Gingrich will be, oh, you know what? He was really a phenomenal president. It's too bad Hillary Clinton can't be more like him.
I know. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Why can't Hillary Clinton be more like him? He reached across the aisle, you know.
No doubt about that. You know, it's been 28 years since an outgoing Republican president was able to deliver a triumphant speech like that at the convention. Mm. 28 years. You know how many Republican presidents spoke at Donald Trump's convention?
Yeah.
Zero. Zero. And there are living Republican presidents.
Yeah, here are, you know, somebody put up on Twitter last night, you know, here's a vice president, past presidents, you know, A-list celebrities. And then for the RNC, you know, here's basically whoever didn't turn us down.
Scott Baio and the Scott Duck Dynasty Baio. Guy. Yeah.
Scott. Yeah. Here's a guy who calls ducks.
Right. I mean, there were no former vice presidents. I mean, there was one former vice presidential candidate who spoke at Trump's convention. That was the closest that anyone at that convention at the RNC got to the White House, and that was Paul Ryan.
And he got kind of booed.
There was no Mitt Romney. There was no John McCain. There was no George W. Bush. There was no George H.W. Bush.
But the thing is, Trump supporters, the Trump fervent, that metric means nothing to them.
Yeah.
In fact, that's a reason that they love Trump, because of his, you know, his authenticity for pissing off the quote unquote establishment.
I mean, Sarah Palin endorsed Trump. She was the vice presidential nominee in 2008. Didn't speak at the convention. And she loves Trump. Trump loves her, and they kept her away. Yeah. I mean, how glaring is that? That just occurred to me just now. There was no Sarah Palin at the RNC last week. Why? Failure quitter, word salad-y, juddy-jawed, screechy Sarah Palin stayed home during the RNC. I mean, that's the difference. That's the contrast here. The Democrats gathering together. And, you know, I think really, I mean, the president's speech underscored this, that the Democrats, what they're trying to do is they're trying to make the tent bigger. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. And I think more precisely, I think the Democrats are trying to make the Democratic Party seem like what it should be, which is the default party for American government.
No, I think you're right. No, and obviously very, very smart, because I do think that there are a lot of people right now who are not willing to vote for Trump, who may not, under normal circumstances, yeah, have considered a Democrat.
Right.
And I'm hoping that keeps up. I mean, you know, the thing is, and again, this is that thing that irks at me, is the idea that Trump has continued to do, like, he's continued to escalate the kind of behavior that should have disqualified him. And like Charlie Pierce said yesterday, you know, Charlie Pierce, when he wrote about Trump's comment about Russia, he's like, this won't affect him. He's like, this will be gone tomorrow. And he just can't. Yeah. He's like, and it's baffling. It's baffling. This should have killed his campaign. The things that he said a year ago should have killed his campaign.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? Contra Charlie Pierce, I don't think it's going to go away. And you know what? One of the things
I hope it just gets worse and worse until, like, you know, he really does shoot somebody in the middle of Broadway.
Yeah. And, you know, but for my part, I'm never going to shut up about that. I mean, we're going to talk about that here coming up on the show. But Jesus, horrendous. I've never seen anything like that. This is, the whole election is a campaign of firsts. Barack Obama said last night, he's going overseas and they're going like, what the hell's wrong with your election? And of course, that's the obvious reaction. I bet there's more nail biting overseas than there are here in the United States. People biting their nails over the outcome of this election. There was one moment, going back to what we were saying earlier, is that that it didn't get a lot of applause. It wasn't a big applause line, but it spoke directly to Republicans, and more specifically, I think it spoke to Bernie or bust people. This is the president talking about Hillary Clinton and compromise.
She knows that this is a big, diverse country. She has seen it. She's traveled. She's talked to folks. And she understands that most issues are rarely black and white. She understands that even when you're 100% right, getting things done requires compromise. Mm. That democracy doesn't work if we constantly demonize each other. She knows that for progress to happen, we have to listen to each other and see ourselves in each other and fight for our principles, but also fight to find common ground, no matter how elusive that may sometimes seem.
Yes, I mean, I was thinking yesterday and watching some of the Bernie or bust people on TV. I mean, I think today they're doing a fart in or something there in Philadelphia. And I don't want to turn this into another Bernie or bust bashing a segment here on the show. But I kept thinking about, what's the strategy? Like, what do they hope to achieve?
It doesn't matter.
Other than... They're basically walling themselves off into the fringes, and they'll say.
I mean, the idea that they're doing a fart in that alone is like that. That really, I love. Thank you so much, guys. Thanks so much for doing that, right. Because I couldn't have made you any more ridiculous and unserious than you've made yourself. Thanks. Perfect. This you had probably the greatest adult, quote unquote adult in the room that I've seen in political history.
Oh, yeah.
Last night speaking, and you idiots are basically going to fart.
You're going to do a fart. Yeah. But I mean, people like Cenk Uygur will say to you, well, you know what? It's effective to take an extreme position, because then when the rubber hits the road, you'll get a much bigger share of what you originally wanted. But you know what? The people on the Bernie or bust right, they're not interested in what Barack Obama was talking about. They're not interested in compromise. The people on the far left who will be most successful in pulling this nation more toward progressivism are going to be the people who are like Bernie Sanders himself, who are willing to compromise, who are willing to go in and negotiate with Hillary Clinton to make the party platform more progressive. The people who are able to negotiate and let go of some of the things they want in order to get more of what they wanted, but not all of it. And those are the people on the left who will ultimately be the most successful. It won't be the stompy, farting, Bernie or bust people who will not compromise with anyone. They won't listen to any reason. Nothing that anyone says at this convention, it doesn't matter whether it's Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Tim Kaine, Joe Biden, or whoever, are going to convince them otherwise. They're going to pitch their fit, and then that's going to be it. They're not going to meet anyone halfway. So why even bother trying to communicate with them? Why even go there? And that's going to be the general reaction. That's why the Bernie or busters will never get anything they want. They will never be taken seriously because they're so unwilling to compromise. Okay, so one last clip. This is let's go back to Barack Obama talking about Donald Trump. This is directly hitting Donald Trump on the Make America Great Again slogan.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump calls our military a disaster. Apparently, he doesn't know the men and women who make up the strongest fighting force the world has ever known. He suggests America is weak. He must not hear the billions of men and women and children from the Baltics to Burma who still look to America to be the light of freedom and dignity and human rights. He cozies up to Putin, praises Saddam Hussein, tells our NATO allies that stood by our side after 9/11 that they have to pay up if they want our protection. Well, America's promises do not come with a price tag. We meet our commitments. We bear our burdens. That's one of the reasons why almost every country on earth sees America as stronger and more respected today than they did 8 years ago when I took office.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we so badly needed that last night. I mean, after following Donald Trump daily for the last year, to hear the president speak in these terms, to basically define for the American people what American values really, really are. I mean, mandatory. Mandatory. And you know what? I was saying, like, this is going to be Obama's last speech. And I realized they're going to bring him back for every Democratic convention until he's gone.
Yeah,
because of this, because of the kind of leader he is. And I feel so, I'm not going to say that I feel proud of the president or anything like that, but I feel so vindicated in the fact that I have in some cases, in some times over the last 8 years, risked my reputation to defend this particular president. I just feel like that the president that everyone saw last night, and the president who stirred up tears in just about every goddamn Democrat, I don't care if you're a Bernie or Buster or if you're a moderate, doesn't matter. That is the president that I've been watching since 2007, or even going back further to 2004. And where the hell have you, the rest of you been? I just can't help. I've been dying to say that publicly. So, all right, we're going to take a break and come back with more clips from the DNC last night on the Bob and Chess Show.
Hello, Bob here to talk about Tweaked Audio. Listener Karen R. wrote to us this week about Tweaked Audio's earbuds, and here's what she had to say. Thanks for the Tweaked Audio link. Had trouble finding decent but not too expensive pods for chores and biking, so tried these. Happy! Exclamation mark. Go now to our website and click the banner for Tweaked Audio for the best in earbuds and earphones. They come with a lifetime warranty and free shipping to anywhere in the world. And Tweaked Audio's earbuds and earphones will work with all of your devices. Available in mic'd or unmic'd versions, they're designed to reduce outside noise and they're perfect for both music and talk. Hear us and everything better with Tweaked Audio earbuds. And if you use the promo code BANDC, that's BANDC at checkout, you'll save 30% off the listed price, nearly one-third off on comfortable quality earbuds warranted for life with free shipping anywhere. Again, use the code BANDC to save big on quality earbuds. Just click the banner for Tweaked Audio at BobSeska.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Obama!
Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
The second half of today's show is brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. Go shopping today. As you're listening to the show right now, go shopping at Amazon.com. But click over to Amazon using our link. It's just beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. And we get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing extra. You save money. You get free shipping. And it helps support the show. So thank you for doing that. Okay, so moving along here. There's one clip that I think really brought the house down. Almost as much as anything else, and that's when Barack Obama made the case that Hillary Clinton is the most qualified person to ever run for president, more qualified than both Barack Obama and Bill Clinton, and it was one of the big moments of his speech last night. Here we go.
And no matter how daunting the odds, no matter how much people try to knock her down, she never, ever quits. That is the Hillary I know. That's the Hillary I've come to admire. And that's why I can say with confidence, there has never been a man or a woman, not me, not Bill, nobody, more qualified than Hillary Clinton to serve as President of the United States of America.
Hmm. At this point, Bill Clinton's going, I love it. I love it.
I hope you don't mind, Bill, but I was just telling the truth, man.
Oh, man, that's great. There was another moment that there was another moment toward the end of the speech that just absolutely took my breath away. And I don't know if you've heard this part of the speech yet, Chez, but this is where the president spoke directly about the victims at Sandy Hook.
It's the painting I keep in my private office. A big-eyed green owl with blue wings, made by a 7-year-old girl who was taken from us in Newtown. Given to me by her parents so I wouldn't forget. A reminder of all the parents who have turned their grief into action.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of those moments in the speech last night. And it was, and again, because it was toward the end, he had already carefully constructed that speech to reach that sort of emotional peak, and then to throw in the bit about the drawing in his private office by the victim of Newtown. And I'm not sure exactly which student it was, but wow, that got me. I mean, that's the part that really got me. I mean, we've talked about Newtown we've been doing the show long before Newtown, and it's been something that we've gone back to over and over again as being maybe one of the most emotional and crushing news events that we've had to cover here in the show. And I mean, even worse in some cases, depending on our mood, than 9/11. So here finally is the culmination of the speech. Here's the end of the speech in which he directly spoke to passing the baton to Hillary Clinton.
It's been you who fueled my dogged faith in our future, even when the odds were great, even when the road is long. Hope in the face of difficulty, hope in the face of uncertainty. The audacity of hope. America, you've vindicated that hope these past 8 years. And now I'm ready to pass the baton and do my part as a private citizen. So this year, in this election, I'm asking you to join me to reject cynicism and reject fear and to summon what is best in us to elect Hillary Clinton as the next president of the United States. And show the world we still believe in the promise of this great nation. Thank you for this incredible journey. Let's keep it going. God bless you. God bless the United States of America.
Listen to that.
And then, honestly, wow. when Clinton walked out, that was like, that's rock star material. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and they embraced it. And I'm sitting there going, still remembering freshly the primary campaign of 2008, and going, wow, I never thought I'd see that. I never saw that. But if you go back in a time machine, hop in your time traveling DeLorean back to 2008 and say, yeah, don't worry, in 8 years, President Obama, after serving two successful terms and leaving office with an approval rating that's kind of creeping towards 60%, is going to embrace Hillary Clinton and pass the baton on stage, and it's going to be triumphant.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I mean, an unbelievable address. Okay, so what we're going to do here is we're gonna take the break a little bit early and then come back and talk about Donald Trump and his just horrendous remarks about Russia. That's coming up right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Summer music, pow, pow, power.
and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Yes, it is, and I'm looking at Salon.com right now, and...
Just don't, dude. I know you write for them, but there's... You know what's fun? I removed them from the from that morning newsletter I used to get, which is basically the thing that always drew me over to Salon. I would get their email newsletter. I finally unsubscribed to that. I haven't read Salon, and I feel bad because I you know, obviously you're an awesome guy and I love Mary Beth Williams, but I haven't looked at Salon in forever, and my day has gone so much better because of it.
Well, there's definitely, I mean, there's a new regime over there. Some things have changed, and I think it's a much better climate. I was just going to say that on the one hand, I've got two of my recent articles are in the most read widget, which is nice. But conversely, the headline article right now is
Amanda Marcotte being Amanda Marcotte.
Yeah. And she, you know, normally she does pretty good work. But this headline, Obama's DNC letdown. Obama is one of the great orators of our time, but his meandering speech for Hillary missed the mark. She's the only one who thinks that, I think. I mean, other than the Republicans. But I mean that. I mean, I don't know how you could watch that speech and go, "Yeah, no, it doesn't work that way." That
she wouldn't be happy unless he got up there and got on his knees and drank Hillary Clinton's urine.
You know, I've been doing this. I don't know. I've been writing politics for 25 years, and I've never seen a speech like that. I mean, I've watched all of the recorded speeches. I've read speeches by previous presidents. I studied them in college. I've never seen a speech like that, the one Barack Obama delivered last night.
I thought it was excellent. Masterful. I did. I think that if you find fault with it, you're either a partisan against it, or you're someone who has some sort of axe to grind about a particular subject that you feel was not paid enough attention to. And I haven't read the piece. I guarantee you that's the tack that Amanda Marcotte took.
Yeah, but I mean, I think anyone with a logical mind, anyone with a rational mind, anyone with an ear to history, I can't imagine those people would hear that speech and go, "Meh." I mean, any reasonable human being has to look at the speech last night and go, "That was a hell of an effing speech." And I was thinking about this too. If I was a Democrat, and which I am, and Barack Obama was a centrist or a moderate Republican, I'd still look at that speech last night and go, "That was the greatest political speech I've ever seen."
Oh, I would. If he were a centrist or moderate Republican, I'd vote for him based on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't have to agree with him on all the issues. And frankly, sure, I still don't, even with Barack Obama as a Democrat. But you have to look at the big picture. That's what the Bernie or Bust people are missing. That's what the Trump people are missing. They're missing the big picture. What it means to be a president of the United States is not just coming up with a slate of policy proposals that exactly matches yours personally. It's about leading the country. It's about being an inspirational character. It's about getting the sense as American people that there is someone who is up, sitting up in the middle of the night in the Oval Office, worrying about how best to improve the United States.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like we've said several times, and I know I've said it. You know, I may disagree with say John Kasich on many, many things, and I do. Yeah. But I don't feel like, I feel like in his heart, the man is probably a very decent person, and the very least, he would not burn down the world.
Yeah. I would say there's very little chance, if any chance at all, for the rest of my life that I will vote for a Republican. I just can't at the rate they're going, certainly not. But I mean, if there was someone to come along, if there was a completely incompetent Democrat, if the Democrats went nuts and nominated someone like Trump, but on the Democratic side, I would think Alan Grayson. I would think about voting. I would think about voting Republican just to keep that person out of office. Any sort of demagogue, as the president called, a homegrown demagogue that the president referred to Trump as, anyone like that on either side of the aisle is going to be dangerous. And
but we're apparently Republican now because we, for some odd reason, we think that Russia's a threat.
Yeah.
Where, you know, instead we're through the looking glass, we're up is down, black is white, and the Republican Party, the party that loves to call itself the party of Reagan, which I remember the 80s very well, was the party of Red Dawn.
Yep.
That's what they were. They were the party of we will fight back the Ruskies no matter what. Yeah. And now in just 30 years, it's become Russia.
Right. Right. And that's, I was seeing a lot of that. And I'm glad you brought this up because we're going to segue right into Trump's remarks from yesterday. I was seeing a lot of that yesterday on Twitter. Democrats, liberals going, you know, the USSR doesn't exist anymore. I don't know what you're worried about. Like, have you been following what Putin has done? I mean, it's no longer a communist nation, that's for certain. It's an authoritarian, hyper-capitalistic nation with a guy, with a despot like Vladimir Putin calling the shots and very obviously hacking into American networks to skew the election in support of Donald Trump. That is what's exact. That is exactly what's going. There was another
with the help of his co-conspirator, that morally bankrupt misogynist
rapist, Julian Assange. And they're working together to undermine the American election. There was another big document dump of what, voicemails yesterday that no one's really talking about.
Right. And I'm hoping that's what happens. I'm hoping that this becomes I'm genuinely hoping that this becomes sort of like what they did with
Snowden.
With Greenwald and Snowden.
And Snowden,
they,
right.
They keep letting stuff leak out, not really realizing the way that the way that Americans process media.
Yeah.
And no matter what it is, if you keep giving them the same thing and trying to draw out a story, you know what? It'll hold the news cycle a little bit longer, but people will actually get tired of it after a while, no matter how big it is.
Oh, yeah.
Because they psychologically filter it and say, well, that's just part of this same thing, and we're over that same thing. Let's go on to this other thing.
Well, there's the other side to it too, which is that I think people are going to start to recognize, thanks to the press doing its job, that this is a Putin op. I mean, this is a
I hope so.
This is Putin.
I really do. I really hope so.
This is Putin trying to hand the election to Donald Trump, and you know, I think we've got to do our part to get this story out, to keep digging, to keep finding those connections that link Donald Trump to Vladimir Putin by way of WikiLeaks and Guccifer and all these hackers and the Russian intelligence services and so forth. And then we have what happened yesterday with Donald Trump in this ridiculous press conference where afterwards I'm looking at the quotes and I'm reading or I'm watching some of the video and I'm going, well, he's suffering from brain worms. I mean, there's something deranged and demented about this man far beyond anything we've seen
before.
Ezra
Klein has been a really good chronicler of that.
Yeah.
He's been writing spectacular pieces on how there really might be something legitimately wrong with Trump.
Yeah.
In addition to his narcissistic personality disorder.
Right.
Like, there may be some sort of dementia there. He forgets things. He doubles back on things. He makes insanely unhinged statements.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, here's what he said yesterday about Russia and hacking Hillary Clinton's email server.
I have a real problem when Hillary Clinton, who gives open access to a phony server, is allowed to get these briefings. How does Hillary Clinton get a national security briefing when she's been probably...
Says this man who will tell you what intelligence briefings are just to show you up. You know what I know?
Yeah, exactly.
Probably hacked when so much of her information, the director of the FBI, said it was essentially negligent. But it would be interesting to see. I will tell you this. Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing. I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press.
God. No. No, 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 no.
Can I tell you something?
He's hoping that Russia hacked the State Department servers.
I took my earbuds out of my ears for a minute there. I can't have that man's voice right against my eardrum.
Yeah, and then
it makes me start throwing air punches.
Yeah, I mean it's so irresponsible. It's so incredibly irresponsible, and people universally were condemning what was going on yesterday. I mean, I included a bunch of tweets in my Salon write up about it this morning, and everyone. There was Tom Nichols, there was Jeffrey Goldberg, there was Ari Melber on the left, there was Stephen Hayes on the right. There's Paul Ryan said, Russia is a global menace led by a devious thug. Putin should stay out of this election.
Right. But he won't blame Trump.
But he won't blame Trump. He's basically saying that Putin is meddling with our election. But who is he benefiting? Who is Putin trying to get elected? It's Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's why he won't say anything.
Yeah, no.
Because we already know that Ryan sold his soul.
Yeah.
You know, the most important thing to him is that a Republican gets elected. It doesn't matter which Republican. It doesn't matter one bit.
So here we have the Republican nominee who already is engaging in Watergate 2.0. Using WikiLeaks and using Russian intelligence because he's probably in severe debt to the Russian oligarchs who have invested millions of dollars in Trump's various ridiculous enterprises, right? So here's this guy in all kinds of trouble, and then he goes up in front of the public and in front of the press and actually hopes, he says he hopes the Russians conducted cyber espionage on American targets, on the Democratic nominee, on the United States State Department. This is unprecedented. This is treason. This is absolutely treasonous. And, you know, I've gone to a couple places on the show in the past couple of weeks that I never thought I'd go. I never thought I'd violate Godwin's law, for God's sake. And I never thought I'd sit here and say, Donald Trump is committing treason. But that's what that was yesterday. He just opened up. He just welcomed the idea of Russia and Russian hackers and Russian intelligence services just digging into every... Yeah.
Of course, he was going to hide behind the line that he's joking. But under no circumstances would he turn that down if Russia, you know, slipped a manila envelope with her emails under his door somewhere.
I mean, at the very minimum, Trump explicitly hoped for the Putin regime to have infiltrated Hillary Clinton's homebrew server when she had it, along with the State Department servers, in order to benefit his own campaign. That can't be underscored enough, that Trump said that in order to benefit his own campaign for the presidency. At any point along this spectrum between just joking or being at the, you know, just hoping for this or that or actually inviting it, Trump has to be regarded as completely reckless and terrifyingly irresponsible. I mean, there's no other way to paint this. No candidate for public office, especially a guy with a 50-50 shot right now at being the next commander in chief, should be speaking this way. And if Trump was merely joking, as his as Fox News was saying all day, and as he's clearly saying now, it makes his statements even more irresponsible. If he was joking, should a serious contender for the presidency be joking badly about allowing Russian cyber attacks to occur in the name of helping him win an election?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. There are things you don't joke about as a presidential candidate. We can joke about anything. But
right.
As a presidential candidate, no, you don't. If you're a serious person, which Trump is not at all.
I mean, he's now receiving classified national security briefings. I mean, I want to know what the protocol is for suspending those briefings. He shouldn't be getting national security briefing.
No, he absolutely shouldn't.
To me, he violated his security clearance yesterday in that press conference. A candidate who, routinely and without any discipline whatsoever, spends his nights blurting trollish remarks on Twitter while spending his days wishing for Putin to have spied on the former Secretary of State to help his campaign. This clown dictator, with no personal restraint, enjoys access to our national security secrets, and he's running to receive the codes to deploy our nuclear triad, which, by the way, he didn't know what the nuclear triad was until a couple of weeks ago anyway. Jesus, I mean, unprecedented. I can't highlight that enough. But I mean, I think we're right. I think there's something going on. I think there's something seriously, seriously wrong. He is descending into some kind of dementia or something. Because then, as you said earlier in the show, he referred to Tim Kaine as the governor of New Jersey. I mean, here's that clip.
Her running mate, Tim Kaine, who, by the way, did a terrible job in New Jersey. First act he did in New Jersey was asked for a $4 billion tax increase, and he was not very popular in New Jersey, and he still
amazing.
Is. What? I'm in Virginia.
God. I'm in Virginia. And then he referred to John Hinckley Jr. as David Hinckley.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't know anything and he doesn't care to learn. And he speaks authoritatively on it. Who, by the way, yeah. I love it. Whenever he does a little aside, you know it's going to be shit.
I know.
Anytime he does one of his little, like, you know, goes off on a fucking tangent, mm-hmm. it's going to be a nonsense.
Yeah. And that's what it was. I kept expecting to refer to the JFK assassin as Patton Harvey Oswalt.
Yeah, exactly.
I tweeted last night when Tim Kaine started speaking. I tweeted as Donald Trump, and I wrote, "Here's Tom McClain, the governor of New Jersey, star of Die Hard. I wouldn't have walked on that broken glass, loser." Jesus. Okay, we got lots of stuff to talk about on the postmortem show. A little bit more Trump. And somebody, oh God, I got to talk about Bill O'Reilly for a second. I know. I promise I won't play the audio.
Yeah, it's amazing to think that he's still relevant in any way.
I know. All right, so if you want to sign up for the Postmortem Show, go to patreon.com/Bob and Chez or click the Patreon link at bobcesco.com. And if you pledge at $5 a month, you get the Postmortem Show. If you pledge at $10 a month, you get the after party, which we record on Fridays. And you also get the Postmortem Show for $10 a month. At $15 a month, you get both of those shows, and you get a commercial-free, not safe for work, unbleeped version of this show. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Sign up. We're rapidly approaching our goal. I think we're just over about $2,000, $2,000 and change per month to reach our goal of doing the show 5 days a week. And I just scared the out of Chez Pazienza just now. All right, we'll see you over to the Postmortem Show, folks. Bye-bye.
Obama!